Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for this day that we can come together and worship you in this way. It's different. And Lord, we don't want others to think that are staying at home and watching this on YouTube or Zoom or on the website, think that they are any less loved and cared for than those that are here today. But we just express our thankfulness to you. Lord, we take a lot of things for granted, especially when we don't have what we used to have. And we've been going for some time, Lord, being able to gather together to worship you, to see one another in person, and to talk as if things were normal. But we give you all the credit, we give you all the praise. We thank you for Governor Reynolds for allowing us to be able to meet today, as well as any church that wants to come together today. So keep everyone safe, Lord. May our eyes always be turned heavenward towards you and give you the thanks that you so much deserve. And so we say these things, and just with one heart and one voice, we just say thank you for being our Savior and a God who looks out for us even when we take you for granted, Lord, in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just wanted to remind you that there are little differences that have taken place here that will continue in the probably the days and weeks ahead too. But the church has been sanitized. You notice that when you walk in the door? There's social distancing. You know, my family is 6 feet apart here, and that's one of you. Doors and windows remain open just for some ventilation. The offering, you know, there'll be an offering. Bob is going to give us a kind of a countdown, right?
Yes.
Back in Lent, I think it was. But we're not going to be passing any plates. There are plates that are placed in different places in the back of the church. If you want at that time to go and put your gift or offering in a plate, you do it during that Bob's countdown. And just don't want to touch too many things here, too many people. And then there's sanitizers that you notice throughout the church. Please use those. And then when the worship service is over with, be careful. Be careful. I know you, especially if you see Nancy Letcher coming, start running. Okay? But you can be 6 feet apart and go, I'm glad you're here. Good to see you again. You're better than being on Zoom or on the computer. So those are some of the things that are different, but yet it's just good to see those of you that are here today. And also glad for those of you that are watching, taking this in, either today or during the week. We're glad that you're here with us as well. Just a special thanks to Denny and Dina for always doing the technology part. And Charlie, you probably do a lot more now with wiping things down, and appreciate what you do there. And Bob, I'm glad you get all the chocolate that Charlie has in her office. And thanks for putting together the service like you do from week to week. I don't know if you know, is there going to be a annual meeting anytime soon? Or
to be determined yet.
Still be waiting on the exact date, but we'll let you know when we'll have our annual business meeting. I'll let you know, it won't be in May. It'll be June, July, or August. We'll see. Is my mic on? Yeah, it should be on. Am I on, Mike? I mean, Jeff?
I think so.
Oh. It was in between.
Do you want to go back all through that now? While we go get a cup of coffee.
Sorry for... Oh, man. Now I really feel bad. I should just sit down. So, But any announcements from anybody? I'm not aware of any. Oh, Jeff, I mean...
It was mentioned earlier... I'm Dean.
Yeah.
Danny mentioned there's a lady that she was a salesperson, and anyway, she got into what's called a friendship mode. Now, straighten me out, Danny, if I got this all wrong, and maybe I should just let Danny tell it. But she took the time to text or email just, "Hi, how are you doing? I miss you," and that's it, basically, right?
I'll put it in the form of a letter so everybody can read it a little bit more this week. But yeah, she was a sales lady out in Seattle, and obviously no one was buying anything, so she decided to write a letter, not a letter, just an email, a quick email, "Here, thinking of you, you know, how's it going?" That's it, maybe a sentence or two, and that's it. Sent it out to anyone that she, you know, had contacted, someone she thought might be a little lonely, and she got 100% response. So then the next email she sent, "How are your kids, how's your family?" Just keeping it very personal, very, very sincere, not mentioning church, anything like that, or her sales business. Almost everyone responded again. And what she developed then was a rapport with a few people that really needed to have someone to communicate with. And the fourth time, you know, then you can mention, you know, what Harbor Joy means to you or something like that. But I thought, we're all salesmen for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you can call it, I mean, it's so simple, you don't need a name. You could call it the COVID kindness campaign if you want, but it's a thought, and there's not much to it, but if everyone in our congregation would send it to one person that they think might need a, you know, someone to talk to, think of what that would do in our community. So that's it. Thank you. Ron?
Bob looks a lot older today.
Yeah, he does.
It's because he needs his hair cut.
Yeah.
Is his birthday yesterday?
Yes.
All right, let's sing happy birthday.
Yeah.
And anybody else that has happened to be in May, you will sing happy birthday.
Well, this is usually the time we get up and shake hands and hug each other and do the holy kiss type of thing, but we won't do that today. We're going to just go to the next song, My Lighthouse.
And I'm going to ask you to play Stand Again as we share this song, My Lighthouse, Shining in the Darkness, I Will Follow You.
You can just dance in your pew.
Peace in my troubles, sweet.
of reading today is called Salvation in His Name. You are to give Him the name Jesus because He will save His people from their sins.
There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved.
I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
I am the bread of life.
I am the light of the world.
I am the good shepherd.
The resurrection and the life. I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades.
Survey was done a couple years ago, And what they found out, that people have favorite hymns, which is no surprise. But what might be a surprise is in the type of order. So I took the top 10. And so the countdown is 10 on down to 1. So for 5 weeks during the offering time here, we will share those together. And then it was a great response from people that Christian Leader Magazine, Christian Leadership, the ministry of national and international, and they came up with, this is the compilation of all those that have responded. So we start with 10. Isaac Watts was one of the most prolific of all English hymn writers. Today he is referred to as the father of English hymnody. Out of his nearly 800 hymn texts, When I Survey is considered to be his best and most poignant. Watts wrote the song to help Christians be prepared for the holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper. The song brings the believer from personal reflection to bold testimony to total surrender. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Now, as we go through the next 5 weeks, we're not singing all the verses of the hymns. So I picked 2 verses as we would share this, as we would see number 10 on the survey. When I survey the waters cross. Getty's goal as he collaborated with Townend on the song was to tell a story, the whole gospel story in one song. The song does just that and leaves us awash in all the consuming flood of Christ's love. What heights of love, what depths of peace. Here in the love of Christ, I stand. In Christ alone.
Peace.
read the scripture for the message today. I'm just going to ask you, do you notice anything different in the sanctuary today?
No Bibles.
Good. Julie, yeah. You know, Al Holman has been working and thinking about an eternal light for years. He got it done, and then Dale Garrels and him got together, and Dale put it up there on the wall, well, in the column over there. And so there it is, being talked about, and it's been on Alan's heart for many years, and it's finally has arrived. And he asked me about it when I first came. I go like, what is it? I don't know. So I've seen lights on in churches before, but I never understood what it meant. And he just said, God's presence is, you know, his presence is here is what it means. It's for those who have passed on that have loved the Lord type of a thing. And I go like, oh, okay, so it makes a lot more sense now to me. So that's something new that is here. Also, I got a new haircut. I had to go to North Dakota to get one. Got one there. I'd like to, if you have your Bibles with you, I just invite you to stand as we give reverence to God's word here today. It comes from John chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. And this is what it says. John 17, 1 through 11. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people with them, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them from the power, by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one, as we are one. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Their words meant for us today. Use them, I pray, in our hearts. To those who hear these words, make them personal. Not just another pastor preaching, taking up our time. But these are words of life to those who will receive them and believe in them. Today and every day, we pray in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Chapter 17 of John is known as the High Priestly Prayer. Only John talks about this prayer, as well as the things that are said in the chapters before this. As Jesus is telling his disciples the things that are on his heart. And that's really the message today. It's looking at the heart of Jesus. Really, what is in his heart as we hear from his word in just the first part of chapter 17. If you really want to know what is in a person's heart, if you really want to know what's in a person, listen to them pray. You know, I need to get in there with Pat Garrels and the prayer team. not to speak or to pray out loud, but to listen. I love listening to people pray. I grew up in a church where all you heard was the pastor pray. Even a Sunday school teacher might pray, but I knew that my Sunday school teacher was in the bar the night before and stayed there till the bar closed. And so the prayers I heard there really didn't mean a whole lot to me. But then one day, when I was in college, I went to a church where I thought it was really odd. The people in the church stood up on Wednesday night and they prayed. I had never heard this before. And you could tell by how they prayed and the words that they said, it's who they were. And they're talking to God. They didn't care about anybody else that was there. They were talking to God, and they go like, yes, this is what I've been wanting to hear. So if you want to know what's really in a person's heart, listen to what they pray, if you get that opportunity. I love listening to kids pray. Do you know why? Why do I love listening to kids pray? I'm going to ask a child, my own grandkids. Why is it I would like to hear you pray out loud? Stumped you, didn't I?
So that you can, like, help us, like, you can tell us what we did wrong.
Oh, no, that's not it at all. I like hearing you pray because you can say more in 30 seconds than it takes an adult a half hour to say it. Your prayers are from the heart, they're simple, they're just right there, and they mean so much. I'm not there to criticize or to critique. I just like listening to you pray. Prayer is a vital element in the life of every believer. I appreciate what Bob had said today, I think, with the worship team here this morning, you talked about prayer, didn't you? I'm going like, he's stealing some of my thunder. But prayer is nothing more than just conversing like you do with one another, just talking. It's talking with God. You don't change your voice, so God will hear you better, because he knows you already. You just talk to him. And he loves to hear you pray. But when you hear somebody pray, it says more about that person's relationship with God than anything else. And that's why I like hearing people pray. I don't find it the easiest thing for me to pray, and maybe you don't, you know, for yourself, it's the same thing. It's not easy, but you know it's something that is needed to do for you and with the Lord. You know, it's like having a power tools. You know, you can have all the power tools you want. But if you don't have a source of electricity, they won't do you one lick of good. You've got to have an outlet that's got electricity in it. And if you can't plug in a power tool, of course, now they're getting battery operated kind of stuff. But if you don't have a power source, no power tool will do you any good. That's what prayer is. Prayer is really plugging into the source of who God is and letting him flow into you and out of you. There's three things I just want to point out today in the text that Jesus shows us the direction of prayer. Notice that he looked toward heaven and he prayed. He shows us direction to look up. You know, sometimes we say that with people. Well, keep looking up. Keep the faith. Jesus turns our hearts and our minds toward heaven. And that's really what prayer does. There is someone more important than myself. It's admitting that I am weak and that he is strong. In our vacation last week, you know, we started off by meeting a semi somewhere and caught a rock on our windshield. Crack. I go, that's longer than the dollar bill. We gotta replace the windshield now. And then my wife loses her wedding rings. And she was thinking, now, where could they be? And she is thinking this and that and that. And she said, I bet they're out at the farm where my brother lives. Because we've been out there 3 days in a row. Now we have to go out the fourth day in a row. And look for her wedding rings. And I'm going like, the chances of us finding her wedding rings are like a needle in a haystack. So we go out there. I didn't say a word to her all the way out there. She's thinking I'm really mad, which I was. And yet I said, let's pray. And I said, you know, what if this was me, Tim? You know, if I had lost something and she would come with, da-da-da. So I'm praying too. And we get out to where she said, this is kind of where I think we parked that day. And she put lotion on her hands, but before she put lotion on her hands, she took off her wedding rings and put them on her lap. And then she didn't remember putting them back on. And so we're out there, and it's, you know, it's windier than I'll get out in North Dakota. It is, the wind is blowing, and I'm going like, there's no way I'm going to find these rings. My brother and I were looking around on the ground, and she's kind of in front of the vehicle, and there's this little tuft of grass that's there. She takes her foot, and she just swipes it once with her foot. She goes, there it is. She found them. The lost became found. Amazing. I couldn't believe it. But I go like, God is able to answer prayers like that. And she's always been someone who's praying for things that I probably wouldn't pray for and just give up on. But Sharon's always been very good at talking to God about things that need to be talked to Him and given to Him. Because He cares for us, even those small things. The second point, Jesus shows us the direction of our prayers. It's to Him. He is strong, we are weak. The second point is that glorifying the Father and the Son. This is what's in His prayer. He wants there to be glory given to the Father and to the Son. You know, they kind of go back and forth. There's a lot of glory in this first part of this passage, and I was trying to think of, what in the world do we have today that gives us glory? How can we put that into simpler terms? What is glory? Well, these are some things that came to me. Yesterday, Sharon and I were planting flowers in front of the church here. And all of a sudden, all of our kids and their families drive up. We didn't know that they were coming. And they drive up, and we're going like, what in the world is this? I thought they're all busy. This is our 40th wedding anniversary today. Aww. And so we thought, well, we're going to spend our 40th by eating hot dogs and potato salad, which is fine with me. And yet here they came because Sharon had been talking to her daughters, and they said, yeah, we're busy doing this, Emily says, yeah, don't call us. We're going to be out on a boat on the lake, and we're busy with our friends. And so all of a sudden, here they show up. And I'm going, glory, that's a little bit of glory that they want to be with us. And last night before we called it the day, Sharon goes, we got the best kids. You know, I said, yeah, we sure do. And sons-in-laws, too. And grandkids. So glorifying the Father, glorifying the Son. Jesus is saying by completing the work of salvation, He has glorified God by doing what He did on the cross for us. And He's looking forward to returning to heaven to be with His Father like it was before the world even began. He's looking for that glory of just being there back in heaven. That He gave up to come and live among us. And many of us didn't care. So, what is glory? How would you answer that, JJ? What is glory? You got one lifeline, you can ask Oliver. Oliver, you have one lifeline, you can ask Ainsley. Ainsley, you got one lifeline, you can ask. What's your name, Mark?
What is glory?
What is glory?
It's overwhelming praise. It's like wanting to capture the sunset on Lake Okoboji. You know, it's just, it's something that just goes, I have no words to express. It's wanting to go fishing and pull out a fish. It doesn't always happen, but it's just good to be on the lake. It's a glory just being on the lake. Right, Dean?
Right.
Overwhelming praise. It's good to be back at church. It's good to see people like now. It's a glory. The last point here is Jesus prays for his followers. He prays for their protection. They're still in the world, but they're not of the world. Father, you gave them to me. But he prays for their protection. And at the very end, he also prays for their unity. May they be unified like the Father and I am. An illustration of this is just that the devil's heyday is to stop the church from meeting. If we're really honest, you look at, you know, never ever has it ever happened. Until this year, especially in my life, and I know in all of your lives too. It's a big victory for the devil when the church does not meet or can't meet. The other thing to be very much aware of is don't let this COVID-19 start turning Christians against Christians. Don't let it bring in some division within the local church. Those who can be here today versus those that don't want to be here or would like to be here but just don't feel it safe. Don't let the devil put a wedge in between us in any way, shape, or form. You know who's here today. You know who isn't here today. To do the very thing that Dean brought up and that Denny said would be a very good thing to do. Who's not here? Give him a phone call. And be genuine. Don't be fake, but just be very genuine. You're on my mind. I just want to call to see how you're doing. Verse 3 of 17 is a very powerful verse. It says this: Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life. Anybody wants to know what is eternal life? It says it right there. Having a relationship, knowing who Christ is, God sent him for you and for me. He died on the cross to forgive us of our sins and grant us that gift of eternal life. That's what it's all about. So what is in Jesus' heart? We find it in this prayer. His prayer reveals it to us. So I want to ask you this morning, what is in your heart? What really is in your heart? Are the same thoughts that Jesus has in this prayer. And to realize that when he prays this, this is happening right before he's betrayed by Judas. It is when he knows he's going to be crucified and die on the cross. And so Jesus has his mind on you and me when he's praying this prayer. And the many others who will follow in life, we've come to believe in him. So his thoughts and his heart are here for you and for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us your heart, because what is in your heart is the same thing that can be in our heart. We want what is in your heart to be in us. Lord, we know that there are people who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. May that motivate us in being a Christian that can be helpful or to be a light or can be the salt. There's a lot of people, Lord, that have a lot of fear today. May you use us to be able to just remind them that eternal life is a gift and is a promise given to us through Christ. And your word says that if we live for Christ. If we die, we die for Christ. To be in our body is to be here at home on earth, but to be out of the body is to be in heaven with you. It is better to be with you. Earth is not our home. Our real home is in heaven with you. Help us, Lord, to be heavenly minded, but in a good way, that we are still earthly good to those around us. Change our hearts where they need to be changed. Move in us as only your Holy Spirit can. Thank you for Jesus in giving us this prayer, knowing that he is going to return back to heaven and that he must go back to heaven in order for the Holy Spirit to come and to live in every believer as Pentecost attests to, and that's next Sunday. It's a miracle. It is beyond our comprehension. But Lord, it's true. And may we always go on truth. Live our lives because Jesus is the truth, the way and the life. And no one goes to the Father except through him. May we be people who believe this. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, let's recite the Apostles' Creed on the screen, I hope, and let us stand as we do so today. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's also just pray the Lord's Prayer that he taught his disciples to pray as well. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. I'm just going to give you one verse. It's the main verse of John. As a benediction today, this is what it is. John 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.